Hello, fellow saints, and welcome. We're so grateful that you're here today. Thank you for your support and standing with us in advancing the kingdom of God. If you'd like to give today, we invite you to do so, but please know there is absolutely no pressure. Your presence and prayers mean so much to us. For those who choose to give, your generosity makes a real difference, and every gift, no matter the amount, is deeply appreciated. Please know that 100% of all proceeds go directly toward our nonprofit activities and outreach. For more information about our outreach programs and community, you can visit our Instagram page. Giving is simple. You click the Make a Gift link in the navigation menu or scroll down to the bottom of this page and follow the link provided. Thank you once again for your kindness and faithfulness in sowing into the kingdom. Together we are making an impact. Thank you for tuning in.
Greater love for Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you for being God all by yourself. Father, I just give glory and honor and praise unto you, Lord God, as I search my mind and look towards your throne, Lord God. I just see you sitting there with a joy and the light of love all over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you just bless us, Lord God. We, your people, are in anticipation to hear from you. Father, I ask that as I decrease, you would increase in me. Teach your people your word, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit come as the spiritual guide. In Jesus' precious name, we love you and we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise, and we worship you, Lord God. And all those up under the sound of my voice, Lord God, we all ask forgiveness and we all ask to be cleansed, that we may receive the Logos, the spoken word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're in Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 1. And 9:1 says, "And he entered into the ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought him a man sick of palsy, lying on the bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For what is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of God hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go to thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." Now, I want to start at the very last sentence of that. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. So the statement was made that this power is in men when these men have the Lord Jesus Christ in them. When you have Jesus in you, then you have this power. I'm going to stop there and I'll pick that up at the end. But I want you to think about that through the whole time we're going through this. So we go to the beginning and it says, "As they entered into the ship and passed over and came unto his own city, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee." Number one, there was a man that they brought to him. Not the man himself having the faith, but the people that brought the man to him having such great faith, including the man believing because of their faith that he could be healed. And they brought him to Jesus. Now this man was in a certain situation. He had palsy, which is a sickness. We call it, it is known as cerebral palsy now. It's the shakes and all the rest of that they go through. He had palsy and he was lying on the bed. That was the condition of the man. Now, this scripture is not telling us how long he was on the bed. That's irrelevant. How many years he's been sick, that's irrelevant. Because all the things of his past are going to be over once he has an encounter, a tete-a-tete with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the message that we all try to teach to everybody that will open their hearts and listen. Not open their ears and listen. Open their hearts and listen. And would hear from the Lord himself that once you have had an encounter with Christ, you will be changed. Your life will be changed for all of your life, for the rest of your life, onto eternity and then some. Because meeting the Son of God, meeting the Savior, meeting the Christ, the anointed one, the holy one, the one that is able to forgive sins. Meeting him is everything. It is more than following laws. It's more than looking good. It's more than anything you can say. Jesus is our everything.
Amen.
Never forget who he is. And so that is the point of this. We have to always remember who he is. Do not pull that. And so, having palsy, this man was in a certain condition. He had a sickness, a debilitating sickness. And as a result of that, he was lying on the bed. You would not see the man without palsy, and you would not see the man without lying on the bed. You would not see the man without lying on the bed, and you would not see the man without palsy. This was his life. And you have to understand that. Meeting Jesus, this encounter with Jesus, made a life change in him. And Jesus' response to him after seeing their faith said on the sick of palsy, "Son, be of good cheer." Now, after that, he said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." But look what Jesus said to a man that was lying on a bed, sick with palsy. "Be of good cheer. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, can come into your situation at any time and say to you, be of good cheer. If you would just remember his word and remember his understanding and remember the precepts of God that he set, the testimonies of God that he set, you will always be able to encourage yourself with this word, be of good cheer. No matter what's facing you, no matter what's coming against you, no matter how far you go down, no matter how high you went up, no matter how you slipped, no matter how you tripped, no matter how you fail, be of good cheer. Those words should resonate in the heart of every believer, because in those times when you need to get that understanding is the same time that this place or place that this man was in, when he was had a debilitating disease and he's laying on the bed. Is there any place that's lower for a man than that? Is there any place that's lower than that for a man? I think not. Usually, when people are lying on the bed from a debilitating disease and they have a debilitating disease, they're usually thinking about checking out and dying. And they're just getting ready. Either I'm getting ready for a death or I'm getting ready for a miracle. Well, guess what? The miracle showed up, and he showed up in the form of Jesus. So this man, he said, "Be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven you." Now, the very first word he said to him was "son." He committed relationship to this man. He called him son. He had never met him, but he called him son. This is very, very important, because Jesus first establishes relationship with him. Then he teaches him to have an attitude of gratitude by saying, "Be of good cheer." And then he said, "Thy sins are forgiven you." Now, I know there's a lot more to this story, but I'm trying to nail down this very important point. When you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, he will establish relationship with you. You are now his son. You are now his family. You are now a part of him. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he brings you into a place of relationship. And that relationship has fellowship. So as a result of fellowship, he tells you to change your attitude. Be of good cheer. And then he will say to you, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." Now, those are the three things that could usher anybody into a whole newness of life. But the church is bored with that. The world of God is, the world and God's people are bored with that. We don't want just a simplistic form of speaking simple words saying, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee." That's too bland for us now. Now, we done gotten into the world of hocus pocus and fantasia and mystery. We need to see lightning strikes and bowls fall and everything else. But that does not move God. What moves God is truth. When he met Jesus, he brought him into relationship. He changed his attitude, and then he told him that your sins are forgiven you. These are the steps to see the fullness of God. Now I go on. In 3, he says, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. They thought the Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings had blasphemed because the man that was laying on the bed sick with palsy had more faith in what Jesus could do than these scribes who were supposed to be God's chosen people. So they called it blasphemy because they were looking. They were God's people and they were God's chosen, but they were looking for negativity from a person. They didn't like Jesus. He was doing things that they couldn't do, so they were jealous. And they were looking to blame him, looking to accuse him. And isn't that amazing that that kind of mentality still happens today? People, when you teach the pure word of God, when you teach true holiness, when you teach righteous living, and you teach the things of God jot by jot, tittle by tittle, people will come after you. They start to talk about you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, like they did with the prophets. And God says, great is your reward. So don't let it bother you. Keep speaking and keep telling the truth. Keep going after the truth. They may get bored with it. They may get tired of it, because living in truth is a boring position for a lot of people. That's why they go get caught up in sin, to put a little zest in their lives. Well, let me tell you, this zest is not like the soap. It don't clean nothing. All it does is make you filthy, rotten, nasty, and despicable before God. And so you keep getting the zest of the world in your life, and I'll keep getting the zest of cleanliness, holiness, godliness in my life, and I'll keep it simple. I'll keep it simple. Because God is not complex. He's only complex when you're trying to understand him, because our minds are finite. But he kept it very simple. He sent his son to die on Calvary's cross that he would redeem and bring unto God a whole world of people. It's just that simple. It's not complicated at all. It's just that simple. So these certain scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And the idea that they're looking to blame him, they're looking to accuse him, already shows the blasphemy that is in them, because they can't see. Like Jesus said, they are blind guides. They cannot see. They don't enter into the kingdom, neither do they allow others, because they set up the kingdom of God against man. And if you, these words never rang true than today. If you will pay attention to what people are teaching, how they're teaching, and what they're giving, and they're setting up the kingdom of God against man. And even though you may be there for a reason, you may feel you are called there or whatever else, it doesn't matter. You go on and stay with that pastor, and you stay with that church as long as you can stand it. You hear what I'm saying? But when it comes to God, don't be surprised if you're not getting blessed. Because if you lay down with dogs, sooner or later you're going to get fleas. And if it's your choice to lay down with the dog, and you know he's flea infested, that is your business. If you get stuck with that, that is your business. And so you get up and start finding yourself fighting all kind of things, and trying to get out all kind of hells, and have all little Jasons chasing you, and monkeys climbing on your back, and things of that nature. That is your business. Don't blame God. That is on you. Because if you lay down with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. And so either one or two things are going to happen. Either you're going to stand up and be the man of God you need to be, or the woman of God that you need to be, and people around you are going to change, or they're going to change you to what they believe. Because how can two walk together unless they agree? That's the way this works. You have to understand that. That's just the way this works. So, they said, this man blasphemed. And then 4 says, and Jesus, knowing their hearts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your heart? So, the idea that they were saying Jesus blasphemed They thought evil in their hearts. Jesus called it evil. Evil is just not sin. Evil, even though it is sin. Evil is not just debauchery, even though it is debauchery. Evil is not even lustful concupiscence, even though it is. Evil is a demonic plan. The word, the idea that he used the word evil here showed you that these certain scribes had a plan. They came seeking to trap him, seeking to set him up, seeking to come against him. And the very thought of that from anybody that's doing godly is evil. My Andrew said, when people show you a glimpse of who they are, believe them. When you see that in people, you have to know what that is, and you got to believe, look, they're operating in evil, so that you don't get caught up into it. It just is what it is. But don't worry, God is a revealer of those who have evil in their hearts, and he's a revealer of those that have good in their heart. He will bring it all to pass. 5, it says, for whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. So, Jesus is equating both together. Because with sin, the man is not going to arise and walk. With sin, the man is never going to see. With sin, the man is never going to change. With sin, the man is never going to do this. He's never going to do that. The woman is never going to change. She's never going to change her attitude. She's never going to change anything. With the sin that so besets her, what is she going to become? So, in order for you to be delivered, in order for you to be set free, you have to, at some point, at least for a while, shut down the sin, so that you may be able to get holiness and then walk and fight the sin. Because you can't fight sin on your own. If you were able to abolish sin on your own, Jesus would not have had to die. But when God looked in time, past time, present time, future, he saw no man that was worthy. So he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. So if you have gotten caught up into this hyper-grace church and this hyper-grace way of thinking, to think that you have this power that's going to set you free, then you have deceived yourself. And the very thought of it is demonic and evil. And I'm telling you the truth. Because God is the one who designed this. God is the one who paid the price on Calvary's cross. God did everything to prepare that you will be able to make a correct choice to choose him above everything else. And that's the issue. A lot of people think this is something that's owed them. And this is not something that's owed them. You have to struggle to get the things that you got. When is the last time you have flushed your flesh? As long as you are alive and in flesh, your flesh is always going to try to find a way to defeat you. But some of us adorn the flesh. Some of us take care of the flesh. Some of us love on the flesh. Not for health purposes, but so that we can look better than any other flesh walking earth. That means we give credence to the flesh, even above our own lives. We let the flesh talk us into all kind of things. And it's really not your flesh. It is the devil tempting your flesh so that he can be in control of your flesh, that he therefore can be in control of you and tease you before God and tell him what a no good, filthy, rotten, no good individual you are. But you know how infinite and how glorious and how mighty God is? That when the devil comes before his throne to accuse you, he says, I understand, and what you're saying is true about him, or what you're saying is true about her. But when I get through putting my word in him, he's going to be something that will make your kingdom shake, devil. So just watch. Just watch. Now, God is on that side defending you, and you won't even pick up the Bible and read. You won't even pray to him. You won't even believe that there's an opportunity for you that you possibly can live holy. Well, if you don't believe it, how are you going to achieve it? You can't receive what you cannot believe. I'm trying to show you the miracle of all this through this. So back and forth, he says, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Where's this evil thought coming from in your heart? He says, for whether it is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say arise and walk. He's equating them both together. It doesn't matter which one he says. What he's saying is going to come to pass when he directs it to those that believe. So, 6 says, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And that puzzled me. That just it just bothered me. It's still to this day, even though I've said this before, but it just bothers me. Okay, so you told him that his sins are forgiven. Amen. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Just, you know, from the beginning. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And that was enough. But then when others start to question, so you took the other route so that they'll know that you can forgive sins, which we don't have a problem with that. But then he said the statement, arise, take up thy bed, go unto thine house. And that puzzled me. I'm like, arise, take up thy bed. Well, usually when people get healed, you know, like these fake preachers do, they tear your crutches from your hand and say, be healed. And they do everything all dramatic. They break the crutches over your head and say, you ain't going to never need them no more. And people go away walking. They touch them and they pray for them and they raise up out of their wheelchair and then they throw the wheelchair across the room. Say, you ain't going to need it. Whenever people get healed. But Jesus didn't do that in this case. He never did those things. I'm talking about man. But he said, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And it puzzled me. I didn't understand. And so for years, I would ask the question, Lord, Lord, why did you tell the man to take up his bed and walk? And sooner or later, God answered me. And he said, it was right for me to tell him to pick up his bed and walk. See? Because that is the sign of men picking up their sins, picking up their cross, and walking with me anyway. He said, when he met me, the bed was carrying him. After I met him, now he's carrying the bed. And that's a picture of how we should walk in Christ. It doesn't mean that sin doesn't come to you. It doesn't mean that you ain't got to pick up your cross. But the bottom line is this, that when you met Jesus, he healed you from your mess. And now for a little while, until there's no blemish or no looking of it, until you're walking in pure holiness, you might have to carry that thing for a little while. But that doesn't mean it has control over you. That means you now have control over it, because the bed was being carried by the man who for years the bed had carried. So I hope you get the picture of what I'm trying to say. Before the man met Jesus, the bed was carrying him. Now, after he's had an encounter with Jesus, he's carrying the bed. Pick up your cross and follow him daily. Pick up your lies and follow him daily. Pick up the manipulation and follow him daily. If you got a bad attitude, pick it up and follow Christ. Amen. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. Isn't that what the scripture says? Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And the beautiful thing about this is that it says that one thing at the end that just blows me away, and every time people try to go around it, I don't let them. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And 7, he says, of the third chapter of Proverbs, it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So having respect unto the Lord is how you depart from evil. How are you going to respect the one that you won't even read about, that you don't even want to know? Who is he to you? Until Jesus becomes more than just the carpenter's son to you, when he becomes your Lord, your Savior, your everything, then you'll start to see things change in your life. And you won't even know where they went to. They'll just be turning and be continual turn. And you won't even know where it went. Next thing you know, you'll be carrying the bed instead of that bed of sin carrying you. I'm talking to you direct, brothers and sisters. We got to change the way we see things. We got to quit letting these preachers, Bishop Flip-Flap and all them, tell us what they believe and don't have no scripture reference for it. You need to check everything by scripture. And so back in Matthew 9:7, it says, and he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. They didn't say had given such power unto a man, but they recognized that God has just did something. He gave power unto men. M-E-N, not M-A-N. That power was not just for Jesus. That power is for everyone that will bow their knee to him and let him on the inside, that he could say to the boat, peace be still. That he could say to the palsy, thy sins are forgiven thee. Pick up thy bed and walk. So I say to you this evening, I don't know what it is you're struggling with. I don't know where you're caught. But the glory of God wants to reveal itself in your life. Pick up thy bed and walk. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the riches of your glory, Lord God. I thank you for using me today. Father, in the name of Jesus, your will be done in their lives, in my lives, and in all our lives, Lord God. And let us have a real conversation about who you are and about why you exist and what you came to accomplish. Let us get on board with the things of God instead of trying to make the holiness of God get on board with us. We love you and we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And we worship you. And all those that agreed said amen.
Amen.
I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending your son. I accept Jesus now as my personal Lord and Savior. I ask Jesus the Christ to come in my heart and live. I choose light. I choose life in Christ. I choose truth. I choose the narrow way. I believe Jesus died for my sin. And according to the scriptures, that you raised him from the dead for my benefit. Heavenly Father, thank you for accepting me as your child. In Jesus' name, amen.
Where the evil ones dwell, cause they fail. What some like to refer to as hell never unveil. The downscale of the segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one. Make it kill off each other with a knife or a gun. You having fun, but in the end you'll be judged by the Lord. Cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Not reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking up some truth into your souls. I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs. Look, he ain't a stranger. And get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger. Step into the light, because deep in your heart, you know what's wrong and know what's right. Don't delay. Don't think-
out to the devil, ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you lie, and ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tell you what you wanna hear, but you know we good for lies. Rebuke the people stepping, that's your weapon, and it work. It don't matter what they say, it don't matter what he learned. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend. Cause trust gon' get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow. So pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
People, get ready, cause he's coming.
That's between him and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors. And daily forgetting. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire and the pain will never cease. Plus ain't no getting out, though you begging and yelling please. There is hope. Seven seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit to the angel of death. You better think about it, come up on your last breath. Repent for all your sins. Learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare. We live in the last days.
People.